favorite and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to On the Couch,
On the Couch
with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist, right here, high atop Fifth and Flower in Los Angeles, overlooking the city. Boy, it's beautiful today. Nice and cool. Yeah. And you're on the air, and you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio. Welcome, everybody. We got a great show for you today. As usual, I will be taking calls from listeners. And the number is 818-602-4498. 818-602-4498. I'd love to hear from you. I am your relationship expert. And everything else, for that matter. Sort of. Kinda. Let me establish that we do not have a therapeutic relationship. This is nearly advice. Fun and entertainment. But hopefully informing, so you can think about things. Think about things you do. Think about stuff. And if you'd like to contact me, you can find me on my website, drmichelletherapy.com. That's drmichelletherapy.com. Dr. Michelle with two L's and two E's. Therapy.com. Love to hear from you. And we've got, like I said, a great show coming up. As usual, we are going to talk to some listeners. Hopefully someone will call in. Ooh, I got some other lines going off right now. But I wanted to get to some stuff. And also I want to answer some IMs coming in as well. And folks who have emailed me on my email address, docmichelle, D-O-C, Michelle at AOL.com. I've got some a really interesting question. From a lady who talks about her relationship with her boyfriend, and they've gotten into really heavy-duty arguments, and I don't want that to happen because that's really bad. That gets worse and worse, and sounds to me like it's really gotten over the top, but we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later. I also have some crazy new research that's just come out actually today and then a couple of weeks ago, and this is the courtesy of Metro News Health Wire. On the mental health and sex and all that good stuff, research. What else? Oh, I have one of those on-air live hidden personality tests. Discover what you expect from your partner, your feelings on luck, and other aspects of your hidden personality. Are you feeling lucky today? Anyway, we're going to take this test. It's easy, fun, and not necessarily empirically great, but it's fun. And I get my stuff off the personalitytests.com website as well. It's fun. And they do have some empirically valid tests as well. But this one's probably, it's fun. It talks about your hidden personality and things you need to think about. You know, little parts of your personality. And if it doesn't describe you, then maybe you can think about some of the aspects of your personality that may apply. Thank you very much. I also have some of the latest quotes on character, courage, and conscious. As opposed to consciousness. And your conscience. And also old quotes. Real old quotes. That really are going to make you think things. Also a little thing on how to build better relationships that I have. And if we have time, I've got another cool personality test too. And so we can talk about that and a whole lot more. So let's get right to the crazy news that just came out today. The number of older folks having good sex is on the rise. Swedish researchers say 70-year-olds of both genders, why am I talking like this, are having more sex than they did 30 years ago. What? Well, yeah, folks are healthier. Come on now, that's a big no-brainer. A scientist at the University of Gothenburg says more open and positive attitudes are behind the trend. Researchers found 68% of married men say that they were having sex in 2001. That's up from 52% in the early 70s. More married women also reported an upswing in their sex lives. The study found the number of married women having sex rose to 54% in 2001. That's compared to 30% in the early 70s. Women said the sex is better, too. That's what they're saying here. With an increase in the number of women, you thought that's what I was going to say, didn't you? Reporting high sexual satisfaction. By the way, the study just out today is published in the British Medical Journal. 70-year-olds of both genders having a great time, much more than they did 30 years ago. Well, they're living longer. We're all living longer. Our bodies are not giving out because we have fabulous medications and doctors these days. But our minds are really hosed. you know what I'm talking about? No, you don't. I don't either. I'm way too young for that. But nonetheless, yeah, our bodies are doing well. A lot of older folks are more, health conscious and eating right and exercising and all that. And of course they'd have better sex lives. Come on, it all goes hand in hand. If you pardon the pun. Overweight men. Let's talk about overweight men right now. This is a new study on this. And I want you to think about this, guys. If you have a wife or a girlfriend and you'd like to have a baby, older men have a lesser chance of impregnating a woman. This just out. That's according to a University of Aberdeen study in Scotland that found obesity can result in poor quality sperm. That's kind of creepy, isn't it? Ew. Researchers conducted a study of around 2,000 couples. They had trouble conceiving, and the heaviest men showed a higher proportion of abnormal sperm. And here's the dealio on that. You want me to get into it? Come on, let's do it. Researchers say too much fat around the testicles, can cause them to heat up, ultimately affecting the quality of sperm. See, the men in the study had a body mass index of like 20 to 25. That's, not only had more normal levels of sperm than those who were overweight, but they also had higher semen volume. Those were the mass index. That means you have like lower body fat. So here's the good news. Lowering your weight is likely to boost fertility. So there you go. It's a known risk right now. What else? Oh, here's a new one too on weight loss. Speaking about weight loss, guys, here, this might help you. The key to losing weight might not lie in a pill or an expensive meal plan. Yeah, results of shedding pounds could simply depend on a piece of paper and a pen. Right. Dietitians have long suggested that people trying to lose weight write down all the calories they consume throughout the day. Researcher Victor Stevens told the LA Times that it's pretty simple to keep a daily record of food and physical activity. A lot of people will say, I was thinking about eating something or another, but I didn't want it on my food record. The researcher says that folks are always happy the next day not to see junk food on their logs. So if they're keeping logs and they're focusing and they're working it, it just might help. But he says Victor Stevens, heavy-duty dietitian, said if people write down all the calories they consume and the exercise as well during the day, they're more or less likely, because they'll look at it and see they'll see their handwriting that says, I ate French fries and a double cheesy whatever. Anyway, I don't know. It's called journaling. It's called behavior modification. I say close your mouth, push yourself away from the table, don't eat the crap, and get walking. It'll make your brain feel better, too. Releasing all those endorphins. Get some exercise. Good stuff. You want to call me, by the way? We have a couple of lines holding, and I shall have the screener check out some of the calls. And you can ask me a relationship question if you'd like, or whatever, at 818-602-4498. We do not have a therapeutic relationship. Dr. Michelle here says I'll help you out and give you some advice, but hey, it's your choice. You know what I'm saying? What else do I have? Oh, this was a cool study. I wanted to talk about the natural Viagra they just came out with too. whoa, I just flashed on this. My husband was eating watermelon last night. It says watermelon may be the natural Viagra. Interesting. Scientists at Texas A&M University say the fruit has ingredients that deliver Viagra-like effects to the body's blood vessels. One researcher says the ingredients can relax blood vessels like erectile dysfunction medications. Okay? The increased blood flow could help angina, high blood pressure, and other cardiovascular issues as well as ED. Since the ingredient that delivers Viagra-like effects is found more in the rind of the watermelon, the rind. Scientists are working to develop varieties of the melon containing more of the compound in the rind. So you scoop it down there real far. And now I see all these guys going out buying watermelons today. Come on, baby. Woo! Take your Viagra and your watermelon. Bada boom. Yeah, you can say to your honey, I've had my big fruit for the day. Come on down. So what else? Another study. I just wanted to share this. This came out last week. Crazy new research from the folks at Johns Hopkins University. They're always doing this kind of fun research. They say the spiritual effects of psilocybin from so-called magic mushrooms are long-lasting and may help patients with fatal diseases or addictions. Yeah. One volunteer in the study describes her experience after giving psilocybin to volunteers. You know, she said she had a mystical experience and gave it a very positive rating. Okay. So the volunteers and this one woman who was speaking, and I'll tell you more about what she said, had mystical experiences. And over 1 year later, most of the volunteers said the experience had increased their life satisfaction in general. I don't get this, but hey, researcher Roland Griffiths of Johns Hopkins says the findings give credence to claims that these types of spiritual experiences can help patients suffering from depression, cancer, or addiction. The study researchers say this is a truly remarkable finding. And the study that came out last week can be found in the Journal of Psychopharmacology. Psilocybin. Magic mushrooms, baby. Spiritual effects. What if you're kind of paranoid and you have those scary, like, devil dreams and you start seeing the curtains start talking to you and things like that? I don't know. Sometimes people carry with them some negative stuff and then they, you know, take mushy roomy rooms and, well, pieces of furniture start talking to them. It scares the hell out of them because they have some, you know, latent or subconscious fears going on there. I don't know. I don't mess with that stuff. Never did. Never wanted to. Too many scary things going on in my brain to where I did not want to bring out any of those fears. Just kind of scary. All right. There's the latest research. Crazy research. And it doesn't mean it's all necessarily true or empirical. It's just possibly correlational studies. But that's what they're saying. I share it with you as I read it from the Metro News Health Service. Thank you very much, guys. It's time now to take one of those fun personality tests. I have a lot of folks calling me on these and saying, let's do another test about me and my personality and what does this really mean? So I found a good one on the personality tests website. Many of these tests are cool and they are empirically valid. Many of them are not, but they're fun to take and you can discover little things about yourself that you may enjoy and say, oh, she's wrong as well. But nonetheless, it's fun to talk about. There's also a test that the Dalai Lama has given people, but it's a visual test. So you have to go online and take the test visually. So I won't do that to you. You know, picture this. No. Here we go. This is called Hidden Personality. Now, what I want you to do is just the first thing that comes to mind. I'm going to give you multiple choices. You got to choose one in your brain. You can't go, well, I'd choose something else because that doesn't count. So I'm going to give you multiple choice answers to choose, and then I'm going to tell you what it means. All right? All righty. Let's do it. What am I looking here? Okay, let's do it. Wait. All right. Here we go. Discover what you expect from your partner, your feelings on luck, and other aspects of your hidden personality. Question number one, first answer that comes to you, tell me. I'm going to give you choices, like I said. Mm-hmm. What kind of chair do you prefer? A, cloth covered. B, leather covered. C, wood. D, cushioned. E, one with a built-in massager. Cloth-covered, leather-covered, wood-cushioned, one with a built-in massager. What kind of chair do you prefer? And the hidden meaning of this is you want your partner to, if you chose A, cloth-covered, you want your partner to be together with you always, no matter when or where. If you chose B, leather-covered, you want to be more open with you, about yourself, and you want your partner to be more open with you. You want the relationship more open. See, if you chose wood, you're in trouble. You want your partner to take more care of his or her dress and manner. You want them to clean themselves up, looking better. Get them looking better. I don't get that, but anyway. If you preferred a cushioned chair, you want your partner to be a little more relaxed, calm, and composed. You want them to chill out a little bit. And if you preferred the chair with the built-in massager, you want your partner actually to do more for you. That's what it says here. Do more for you. Mm-hmm. I know what you were thinking, but that wasn't the right answer. No. But that's what the deal is. Okay, number two. Tomorrow is Sunday.
Not really.
What are you going to do? A, stay home and take it easy. B, do what I do. You go shopping. C, you do some sports. D, you go out for a walk. E, you stay in bed and catch up on sleep. That's one of my hobbies. Tomorrow is Sunday. What are you going to do? Hey, check it out. If you picked A, stay home and take it easy, this has to do with money. You spend as little as possible, all right, with respect to money. If you picked on Sunday to be go shopping, you spend whatever you have. You just go for it. Okay. If you pick C, do some sports for Sunday, do some sports, it means that you save your money for a rainy day. All right. If you pick D, go out for a walk, it says, with respect to money, you spend carefully. Pennies saved turn into dollars. And if you picked E, stay in bed and catch up on your sleep. You probably are a bit stingy. That's what it says here. Not empirically valid. Just one of these tests. Here we go, number three. A box is lying in the road. A box is lying in the road. What is inside the box? What's inside the box? A, an abandoned kitten. B, garbage. C, treasure. D, a surprise. E, nothing. Not a damn thing. All right, if you picked an abandoned kitten lying in the road, all right, this has to do with luck. All right? So if you picked a little kitty in the box on the road, you think good luck depends on maintaining good relationships with others. If you picked garbage in the box alongside the road, you think good luck is something you won't attain, and you expect only bad luck. You're one of those negative thinkers, one of those cognitive distorters. If you picked C, treasure, you think good luck will definitely be yours someday. Someday, you have positive thinking. You're projecting that positive future. If you picked in the box a surprise, you think good luck might come your way. And if you picked E, nothing, you think good luck doesn't exist. Really is built on practicalities. Come on now. All right, let's continue on with this fabulous quiz. What kind of present would you buy for a very close friend? What kind of present would you buy for a very close friend? All right. Would you buy a handkerchief? Because your friend will be happy no matter how many handkerchiefs he or she has already gotten. A handkerchief. Would you buy something you like? You like? Would you buy for a very close friend something your friend has been really wanting? Would you buy something popular? The latest thing, everybody's got to have it. Or would you buy something handmade or homemade? So what kind of present would you buy for a very close friend? If you picked a handkerchief, it says, because your friend will be happy no matter whatever. It says here, you're not able to relate clearly to others. You tend to become lost in the clouds of confusion when attempting a task. Ew. All right. The present you buy for a very close friend, is it something you like? That means you're the type of person who assumes that the world revolves around yourself. You narcissist. If you picked for a very close friend something your friend has been wanting, You tend to think about others' feelings a lot, perhaps because you're so eager to be liked. That's kind of sad. But hey, what the heck? You're a people pleaser. What can I say? What kind of present would you buy for your very close friend if it were something popular, the latest thing? It says you care more about world's trends and fashions in general than you do about your own or other people's needs. Alrighty. Would you buy something handmade or homemade? And if you would, this means you have a tendency to overdo things, but basically you value your friendships highly because it's handmade. And that means you're doing it for them. By the way, the message behind this question, I know it sounds kind of weird, but it says by stating what kind of gift you'd like to give to a good friend, you're actually revealing how you relate to others. It doesn't really matter so much what you give someone. It's the thought that counts. So if you care enough to give something, your friend will get the message. And the dual acts of giving and receiving are together one of the finest pleasures and one of the best forms of communication, of course, that friends share. So you know that's that kind of thing. All right, let's take, what have we got here? Oh, cool. All righty. We've got number five. You want to cross a river, but there is no bridge in sight. What do you do? Do you swim across? Do you build a raft? Do you search for a bridge? Do you search for a shallow spot to wade across? Or do you wait until the river dries up? What do you do? All right, if you swim across, when it comes to finding a romantic partner, this means that you will search and search until you find your perfect match. If you're going to swim, you're going to keep searching. If you decided to build a raft, when it comes to finding a romantic partner, you create opportunities to interact with many folks throughout club activities, hobby, doing things you like, and then you select someone you like. When it comes to finding a romantic partner, if you search for a bridge, when it comes to finding a romantic partner, it means you don't have any particular type in mind, but are inclined to look for someone who's likely to say yes if you ask him or her out. Too many clients I have like that. Yeah, don't sell yourself short, but that's what you do here, according to this lovely test. And if you want to cross the river and there's no bridge, what do? If you search for a shallow spot to wade across, when it comes to finding a romantic partner, this means you base your search on information from your friends. interesting. And if you wait until the river dries up, ooh, this can't be good, can it? No. When it comes to finding a partner, that means you're not too worried about finding someone right away. That's not as bad as I thought. So you got patience. You've got patience. So the message behind this question is your answer to this question reveals the way you tend to search for a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a partner. Crossing a river is a psychological equivalent of, you know, getting out and finding that special someone. In any case, if you don't make an effort to meet folks, there's no way any relationships are going to start. So get to it. I've had a client for many years who used to stay home and isolate. And she was depressed, and I really tried to help her get out and find hobbies and, you know, interact with other people, build her social skills, become more assertive, things like that. And she just didn't want to do it. She just always complained about being depressed, but she's alone. And I told her the only kind of guy, but she really wanted to meet a guy. And the only guy that she's going to meet is the burglar that comes into her house. Yeah, because she's not getting out. It's a bad joke. It wasn't too funny, she thought, either. But it's true. I mean, if she doesn't get out there, how's she going to meet somebody? Come on, give me a break. You got to get it out there. This is something that I always emphasize. Along with changing your thought, you've got to change your actions. So if you're complaining about, you know, not having anything to do or being lonely or you don't get, start meeting people, join a club, get out there and get hobbies, join a religious group that you're affiliated with. And if not, find something. Find something. And it's all really cool if you can go out and exercise along with it too. Get a hiking group or something like that. All right. You know what I mean? You know, exercise. Walk along the ocean, but the beach, if you're so inclined. Walk in the woods. Well, get out. Breathe the air. It's good for you. If you want to call me, you have a relationship question. We're still going through the calls. You can call me at 818-602-4498. Let me see if we have a caller on the line. Let me pull this up here. All right. Good morning. You're on the line with Dr. Michelle. We'll try it again. Good morning. You're on the air with Dr. Michelle. No? All right, let's see if we can do this. I'll click twice on it. Here we go. Let's get them up. Get them up. Come on in. Come on in. Good morning. There we are. Good morning. You're on the air with Dr. Michelle. Are you with me? Are you with me? Do you hear me? All right. Whoever's calling, and I don't know who this person is. I think it says Jay. Jay, if you're calling, hold on the line or get a better signal because I'm not getting you right now. All righty. Let's try it. Good morning. You're on the air with Dr. Michelle. Good morning. Hello. 1, 2, 3. Okay, never mind. The number again is 602-4498, and that's in the 818. Let's try this one. All right, good morning. You're on the air with Dr. Michelle.
Oh. Good morning, Dr. Michelle. How are you?
Good, good. I see
good.
On the screen your name is Jay.
Yes.
You had to think about that.
I'm Jay from Studio City.
Good. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine.
Good.
But you're calling me because you're not real fine, right? Something's going
no.
on.
No.
What's going
I'm
on?
Really not. I'm a little embarrassed.
Really?
About calling.
Why?
I can barely hear you.
Well, okay. I'm really, really high on my levels here on the air, so
okay.
I don't want to blow you away.
Okay, Dr. Michelle.
Oh, that's okay.
I have a girlfriend. And we've been together for about 2 years.
Okay.
But unfortunately, we're running... She's not interested in sex any longer.
Really? Did you have a good sex life when you started out?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Really?
It was great.
Nice.
Very good.
Really good. Okay. So what...
I ate a lot of watermelon.
You were listening. You're a watermelon, huh?
Yeah.
It's supposed to work. That's the latest Viagra, babe. So you're, per se, then, up for it, but she's not.
Yes.
Okay. So you said over the last 6 months, she's kind of, her sex drive has dwindled?
She's, everything I try to do, I try to seduce her. I light candles.
Going to take more than lighting candles, baby.
Romantic dinners. Everything I seem to be doing is not working.
Aww.
And I'm very, very concerned about it.
Okay, I'm really sorry. Has she said anything to you or has had any significant event happened in the last 6 months that 6 months ago may have put her into a funky place? Or has she talked to you about something significant?
Well, the economy's been tough on her. I mean, it's...
Right.
But she works very, very hard.
Mm-hmm. So she gets tired a lot. Is that the deal? Is that what you're telling me?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
She tells you she's really tired a lot.
She's tired.
Okay.
She's not in the mood.
Okay.
You know, okay. She's got pressures.
All right. So she's stressed out.
I would say so.
So nothing else is going on, though, in terms of another traumatic experience in her life?
No.
Okay.
At least I don't think so.
Okay. All right. All right.
I don't think so.
All right. So
what would you suggest?
Well,
we've been together,
You said a couple of years,
I guess.
Well, okay. You know that sexual desire naturally dips in a relationship, right?
Well.
Yeah, it does.
After a while.
Well, it does. Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
And, 2 years is still pretty, it's not that long of a relationship, but obviously when desire completely dies away, I mean, if she's really just not into it for the last 6 months, there is something definitely wrong going on. Okay. Can I ask you to turn down the volume on your internet radio? Just a little bit?
Because
sure. I'm getting feedback on my end from you. I always have my screener tell folks to turn down their volume because it kind of helps out a little bit. Because they're not
okay.
listening to... Because there's
I'm
a slight...
Muted.
You're muted. That's right. Over the last 6 months, you've been muted too. So, I'm sorry. I don't mean... You know what, Jay? It took a lot of courage for you to call me. And I don't mean that. I don't mean to be obnoxious like that. Now, listen, it's not necessarily due to problems in your relationship. You guys are getting along fine, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you're getting along like you always have, per se, outside of the bedroom.
Right.
Okay.
We seem to be fine.
Okay.
We see each other. We don't live together.
But
we see each other at least 3-4 times a week.
Okay. All right, that's cool.
We have dinners. I spend the night over at her place. She spends the night over at my place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a nice situation, but
yeah.
I'm just a little concerned about the fact that she seems that she's just not into it.
All right.
She's just not interested in my junk, I guess.
Have you talked? No. Have you asked
her? My junk
her?
Is not working.
It seems like your junk is working. It just, you know, your mojo's working, baby. I don't know. Look, have you asked her? So you haven't asked her what's going on? What does she say? She's just tired, right? That's
she's
her response all the time?
Tired.
All right.
Just, I mean, what do you think I should do?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me explain to you why I ask you if anything significant had happened within the last 6 months. Because, you know, desire can fade through physical causes like illness, medication, mental causes, stress, depression, things like that. Things that are going on in our lives. I mean, when we have trauma, you know, losses in our lives, stressors like work. I mean, come on, everybody's working really hard these days. Most everybody. Economy's not doing well. Indeed. She may have some real worries about that and is very, very tired. If she's not getting enough sleep, her libido's low. Her emotions are high. Her stress level's high. And her depression could be high as well. So, you know, I think what you might do is talk about it kindly to her. You don't say, you don't love me anymore. You're not interested in having sex. Do you say things like that to her?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. I'm very gentle about those.
Oh, okay.
Things.
Good. Well, that's good, because what you might do, Jay, is encourage her to have a medical checkup. I know that sounds really crazy, but you know, it's really important to have labs done and find out. I mean, for all you, it could be hormones. It could be thyroid level or something, and I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a psychologist. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
I never even thought of that.
Well, good. You might do that. Just gently, kindly ask her, you know, just to get things checked out, because she could really be suffering from some, you know, I don't know, low levels of whatever, iron. Who knows? But that can, you know, all attribute to maybe.
Can that really do that?
Well, yeah.
I mean, she's 33.
Yeah, of course. It doesn't matter. You know, she can be.
And we were very sexual.
Okay. You know, she could, now this could indicate something medical. It sure could. So, you know, you might suggest to her to have a lab work up and just go to see her general, you know, practitioner, whatever. And, you know, talk about that.
Have you heard of that happening?
Oh, yes. That's why I'm suggesting it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I never even occurred to
me. Okay. Well, that's good. So you took it personally. You went right to, ooh, it's about me and something's wrong, huh? Which
well,
many guys
course.
Do a lot of times. Sure. Like I said, you know, if her loss of desire followed a life failure, job loss, you know, or just stress about her job, Jay, offer her some support. I would just really offer her some support. And because the more support she gets, the less anxious she'll become. Her sex drive may return if it's nothing medical. And if it's medical, maybe she can, you know, get whatever meds she needs or vitamins or whatever and make herself feel better. But, you know, lower stress, lower depression, lots of support. Maybe she needs more support from you or friends, family, whatever.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
You know, you guys...
I'm blown away. It never even occurred to me.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of women, for that matter, take it personally, like it's something they did. But no, a lot of times it isn't. Even if the love's still there, which it sounds like it is, I want you to hear this. Sometimes relationship resentment can mean that there isn't enough trust for lovemaking. Okay? There may be some resentment or something she's not expressing to you. Maybe you're not, I don't know, Jay. Maybe you're not as supportive as she'd like. Maybe you're just trying to, you know, maybe, it sounds like you're doing all the right things to be romantic and get her into the mood and foreplay and all that stuff, but I don't know. Also, try to get her out of the stress, like I said. More leisure time. Do fun stuff together. You know,
okay.
Don't force her to, you know, push. Don't push it to make love or, you know, have sex or anything like that. Just do fun stuff together. Do more fun stuff. Have fun. Get crazy. Go out and laugh. Chill out. You guys need downtime, especially if she's stressed out.
Very good, doctor.
I just wanted to tell you one more thing. The worst thing you can do is to pressure her. If she has gone off sex, baby, that'll just add to her anxiety and make her feel less sexy. And there may be something going on with her in her head that's making her feel less sexy. Because, listen, when we were working, women be working these days, we're feeling like, really tired and not too much like dressing up sometimes on the weekends or in the evenings when we're kicking back and we don't feel
sure.
that attractive. So that might be another
factor. Well, I'm not trying to pressure her. It's
okay.
Not that important. I mean, it's important, but yet... You know, just being together, I think, is important.
Yeah. How's your self-esteem? Is it pretty well intact, I mean?
Oh, I'm I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine.
All right.
Yeah, I'm more concerned with her.
Oh, there you go. You're a good one. You're a good catch.
Well, thank you.
I like you. You can have her give me a call, and I will give her that thumbs up for you, baby.
Very
sound like
good.
Sound like you're a really nice guy, and you know, I wish you, you know, really good luck and success. And these things do happen sometimes. Just
I love your show, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I listen to it every Friday.
Thank you, doll. You can download. You can download other ones and listen to Saturday too. How's that?
I think I'll have her listen to this show.
Good. Very good. Would you do that? Yeah. That'd be great. Hopefully, she can give me a call too if she'd like. I'll be happy to help her out as well. Maybe.
Great.
You know. and you know, privately, I can refer you to someone else, you guys, if you need couple counseling, because that's always, you know, that's always a consideration as well. But all right.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you, doctor.
All right. Have a good day and take good care of yourself.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Yeah. Partner's gone off sex. Does that mean she's gone off him? No, not necessarily. Lots of things for you to think about sometimes. What I hear many times from my clients is when their partners kind of slow down on the sex, men and women, you know, we all feel insecure. We all feel like, what did I do? What is it about me? And you've always done the same things you've been doing. And there's life happenings, environmental stressors, we call them. And, you know, so talk to your partner and don't accuse them and don't call them names and just say, well, let's work together. I really miss making love with you, and be kind and loving. And again, medical workups are always good too, because it can be a variety of things. Y'all. What else? Oh, I wanted to read an IM that I received from DocMichelle@AOL.com. And this is from Katie. She says, Dear Dr. Michelle, my boyfriend and I are always arguing, and it's always about the same things. Alrighty. We try to work things out, but one of us always loses our temper. And to be honest, I'm losing faith that we will never get things sorted out. How can we stop these fights? And this is Katie. Okay, not enough information here, but there are usually a couple of key causes to having arguments, Katie. First, you may not have the necessary skills to resolve serious conflicts. You both are, as I say, addicted to the drama in your relationship. So what I try to do is I try to detox my clients from the drama in their relationships. You got to look at it even like substance abuse. Yeah, you get into that drama and all that, the endorphins start kicking. It's exciting. We're going to fight. Yeah, if we aren't fighting, it doesn't mean it means he doesn't love me if he's not responding. That's kind of crazy thinking. So you may not have skills to resolve serious conflicts. Maybe you guys were fine, like you said, in the early part of your relationship, a little better. But you say here it's always been about the same things. So maybe if you were fine in the earlier part of your relationship when there was nothing serious to argue about, maybe your differences of opinion are really apparent, right? You struggle to resolve those issues. You can't cope. You know what we do at the beginning of our relationships is we're on good behavior. We really are. Come on now. We're really on good behavior. And then the real stuff starts coming out, all the differences. And, you know, they say that opposites attract. Yeah, right, originally. But the people who are more alike usually end up in longer-term relationships. So all those exciting, wonderful things that attracted you in the first place, you thought you could put up with. And then time goes by and you're like, oh, I can't stand this about him, or I can't stand this about her. I used to, like, let it go because it was kind of charming, but now it's kind of grating on me because it's very different, maybe, from you. So you let your hair down later in the relationship. You start to be a little more honest because you're a little more comfortable. So then those conflicts really start coming out. Also, another issue of the cause of an argument, you avoid discussing an issue that you're really upset about. One or both of you feels furious, but either doesn't realize it or is too scared to admit it, so you hold it in. And then, of course, you know, when you hold things in, you have more resentment. You get more anger, and then you blurt it out on those occasions. The serious conflicts of drama, Katie. So you need to talk, and so here's what you can do. Here's the Stop Arguing Action Plan by Dr. Michelle to help you detox the drama in your relationships. you can really think about some of those hidden resentments, Katie, that are lurking under the surface. You know, sometimes acknowledging them kind of clears them up. And you can talk to each other. Don't hold it in. Kind of say, sometimes I feel sad when you, those are the I statements, when you just leave and go out with your friends for a couple of hours, so you say, and then you come back 5 hours later, and I'm waiting for you. No, there's hidden resentments, and you have to share them, and not name call. Okay, so you say, sometimes I feel sad when you, and I would appreciate it if you. I know that sounds really stupid, but people don't understand us sometimes. They don't assume, or they're not psychic, so we have to tell them how we're feeling. Also, you can discuss things together, like I said, if necessary, with the help of a counselor. You know, things that, if you have some really heavy-duty things, Katie, that you can't forgive, that you're holding on to, you may need a counselor, because you got to just lose some of that stuff. You got to give it up, baby. If you're holding on to old stuff with this guy, that are really long-standing issues, you got to maybe get some counseling for that, because you have to learn how to let things go. Either that, or if they're that heavy, you just get out of the relationship. If the other person isn't willing to change and you're not willing to give it up or forgive, all right? Also, you can develop ways of nipping an argument in the bud, Katie. Breaking the mood, all right? You can break the mood. Yeah, if it gets rolling, you know, that drama that I'm talking about, that escalation of feelings. You can break the mood, like, with a hug. And, some people, when they're into the drama and they're really angry, they would get really pissed when you do that. But you can kind of like, listen to them. You can give them a hug, though, or pat them on the back, or hold their hand, or give them an apology. It's really cool to admit you're wrong sometimes. You know what? I'm sorry if I, because we're using I statements here, ladies and gentlemen. I feel bad when. I feel sad when. It hurts me when you say this. Okay. So you're trying to just lose your ego. Get rid of that darned ego and apologize once in a while. Also, you can learn the skills of negotiation to resolve things that you really can't agree on in a way that leaves both of you feeling good. Learn the skills of negotiation. Negotiation means you have rules, you take time, you both get time, equal time to talk. And you can agree to disagree too. And that's what respect's about. You agree to disagree. Yeah, they're not at fault. It's not a big deal. You're not at fault. It takes two to really make problems. Maybe sometimes one more than the other. Sometimes there's one really heavy-duty person in a relationship that's kind of messing it up and stuff. And at that point, you have to, you know, make a decision on whether you want to hang on to this person if he's really got some things going on that you cannot forgive, like I said earlier. Also, head off building resentments by taking time every day. Every day, Katie, here's an idea. You bring up some of the differences and disagreements to clear the air. And I'm not talking about digging up old crap like women do sometimes. We do. We dig up old stuff. Remember back 5 years ago when we were at that party and you said, no, he's probably clueless. He doesn't know. He doesn't remember. We do like to go back because we're touchy-feely and thinky, and we tend to, you know, kind of perseverate on things like that. So you head off the resentments like on a daily basis. Just kind of bring up, you know, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm not feeling like doing that. And so you can go ahead and do that. And, you know, clear the air. It's not that every day you have to have a big heavy-duty discussion, because that'll drive guys away and vice versa. But, you know, we women, like I said, tend to be more, you know, talkative and, you know, want to express our feelings. But guys are coming from not that. They're coming from, you know, get to the point, solve the problem, straight arrow, fastest way is straight ahead. And we go around the road and curve and feel and go off subject. And that's cool. We're different. That's why it's vive la différence. Why it's so wonderful. Katie, I hope that helped you. Thank you so much for emailing me at docmichelle@aol.com. You can also find me on my website at drmichelletherapy.com. Let you know a little bit more of what I'm about in creating positive relationships, which I like to do. And I'd like to remind you again, we don't have a therapeutic relationship here, you and I. We just have fun together learning about healthy ways to behave. So I make suggestions and I answer some of your relationship problems. And that's my disclaimer. Thank you very much. Oh, I have some of these cool quotes that I wanted to share with you. These are These are like, you know, these things kind of make you think sometimes. And some people go, oh, yeah, they serve up the cornflakes. They're corny. But there's quotes on character, courage, and conscience. And these are some oldies and these are some newies. So conscience. Conscience is the inner voice that warns us that someone might be looking. Well, that's, yeah. H.L. Mencken. Yeah, around the turn of the century. The measure of a man's real character is what he would do if he knew he'd never be found out. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? What would you do if you knew you'd never be found out? Would you go through with it? Or would your character say, you know, that's not right. That's not, I'm just going to haunt me. You know? Mm-hmm. That's the difference between an Axis II Cluster B and other folks. They have more of a conscience. Things bother them. They are aware socially of how they affect other people. Here's another good one. The best tranquilizer is, no, not a benzodiazepine. Not that I almost said Zoloft. Not that Xanax, maybe? Or that Valium or Ativan or Klonopin. The best tranquilizer is a clear conscience. That's so you can sleep at night and relax and lower that anxiety. You got a clear conscience, baby? You don't have all those stressed out thoughts going on 100 miles an hour. All right, let's see. And you've heard this one before. This is a little different, though. To err is human, but to admit it is superhuman. Mm-hmm. That's about character, your character. Another one by Beverly Sills. I like this one. It says, you may be disappointed if you fail, but you're really doomed if you don't try. You got to try it because you'll always be kicking your butt. You get older. I should have, could have, would have, should have done that. You're going to be really disappointed. So you got out there and you hurt. You failed. I don't usually like to say that word. I mean, it's, you know, I guess it's a reality and all that. But I used to, I like to say, you didn't get what you wanted out of that particular situation or experience, and that's a great lesson you can learn and move on to getting more of what you want and apply something different. But keep it up. All right, here we go. What else? Oh, here's a good one. There's two types of people. Those who come into a room and say, well, here I am. And those who come into a room and say, ah, there you are. There you are. Which kind of person are you? Hmm? All right, let's see what else. Oh, yeah, to exist is to change. To change is to mature. To mature is to create oneself endlessly. And that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about learn from those bad experiences, those so-called failures that you say, and then start to have those negative cognitions about forever and ever. I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to. Change is all we got, baby. You gotta mature yourself. Keep going with the flow, going with the changes, and keep going. Okay, here we go. It says there's always hope when people are forced to listen to both sides, and ain't that the truth? There's always hope when folks are forced to listen to both sides. That's what's so wonderful. And there may be three sides, four sides, five sides. Not just both sides. There's many sides to a situation. Listen to them all and make wise decisions based on that. Get out of your ego self and learn from those things. Also, here's a good one. Ooh, I like this one. Know yourself. Don't accept your dog's admiration as conclusive evidence that you're wonderful. I love that. Don't accept your dog's admiration as a conclusive evidence that you're wonderful. Well, my pets love me. You know who said that? Remember Ann Landers? The Dear Abby thingy? Ann Landers column? Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of a cool thing. Well, right, of course. You know, it's really wonderful to have pets and animals who love us and to support us and all that. They're fun things. And they are proven to make our moods better as well. But I thought that was kind of cute, what she said. What's one more? Oh, yeah, here's the Reverend Peter Marshall, and this is kind of cool, too. You've kind of heard the Serenity Prayer before. That's a oldie but a goodie. But this one says, Lord, when we are wrong, make us willing to change. When we're right, make us easy to live with. Oh, ain't that the truth? And that's the problem, too, is the ego gets in the way. You know, you got that person always going, I told you so. See, I was right. Whenever you start to say that, shut up. in a relationship. Don't say that. I told you so. I would rub it in, because your ego has to prove that you're right. Don't do that! You know? It's not a good thing to do. All right, that's it for now. Next week, we're going to have a little more. Oh, one more. I wanted to read this one. Yeah. If opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. Yeah, that's kind of cute. You know who said that? Comedian Milton Berle. Oh, he's cool. I like that. Make a door. Build a door. He built a fabulous career. He's really a cool guy. All right. Well, I have some other IMs that I'll be getting to next time, asking about relationship problems, and I promise I will get back to you. I really, really promise, because we do have some real good ones here. Oh, I love my partner, but I can't get with his children. Uh-oh. He has children from a previous marriage. We'll talk about that, too, next time. Also, I've got another fabulous personality test I'm going to lay on you, and we're going to talk about how to deal with depression. Which came first, the depression or the pessimistic thoughts? We're going to think about that, too. Anyway, log on to my website. I'd love to hear from you if you want to find me. It's Dr. Michelle Therapy at AOL.com. Dr. Michelle with two L's and two E's. Therapy at AOL.com. And it's, you know, it's how to create a more positive life for yourself. I'll tell you more about that, too. All right, this is Dr. Michelle, and I'm just getting ready to get on out of here. I thank you for being on the couch. You can stay if you'd like. Leave your shoes off and stay comfy, because TJ McCormick is up next. He's so sweet. And you have yourself a great day, and I thank you for listening and writing, and do take care of yourself, please. Dr. Michelle, getting off the couch on LA Talk Radio. Bye-bye. Come back here so I can get your name.